The gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to the Lord of that all that has taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. When we have been hurt, at times it may seem like the only power we have in a situation is to withhold forgiveness. How easy it is to hold tightly onto the wound, refusing to let go, because in our rationale, it is the only thing we have left, the only thing that marks the wound. If I forgive, you may consider, am I giving away what little power I have for change? For redemption, for justice? You might think that refusing to forgive hurts the offender, when really, the person it hurts is you. Holding on to the wrongdoing is a poison that deepens the festering wound. Forgiveness is a fickle thing, because while some of us are instructed to forgive and forget, the forgetting part is sometimes more difficult than the forgiving itself. Our memories have a purpose. Memories protect us. Memories are a reminder of the wound, like an ache that only becomes painful when it rains. And these wounds cut deeply into our souls. And yet, knowing all of this, Jesus tells us to forgive, not just seven times, but 77 times. This number is not literal, but signifies that forgiveness must continue and go on and on and on. This parable provides a glimpse into just how wide and deep is the mercy of God. However, this command to forgive does not excuse inappropriate behavior like abuse. Abuse needs to be addressed, justice pursued, and healing begun. So we are told to forgive 77 times, because without this kind of healing, the soul will harden like a heart that is deprived of oxygen. Because to withhold forgiveness is to poison the soul and the body, and not just our own selves, but the entire body of Christ. To forgive means to let go of the hurt and the anger, Even though we may remember the hurt, to let go is important. Forgiveness is not acceptance of the past. Instead, it is, as Craig Kester put it, forgiveness is the declaration that the past will not define the future. I'll say that again. Forgiveness is the declaration that the past will not define the future. Stephanie Castellet's mother was murdered in a convenience store robbery in New Orleans in 1980. And this is her story of forgiveness. She writes, "I attended a meeting at a church when the head of a prison ministry stood up and spoke about a local men's prison. I couldn't help but secretly characterize him as a holy roller as he paced back and forth, carrying his small, worn Bible and speaking about the positive impact of forgiveness on prisoners' lives. While I believe that forgiveness was generally a good thing, I had never, ever considered forgiving the man who killed my mother. That brand of forgiveness was for extremists who went on Oprah. In fact, I strongly supported the death penalty, silently bitter that my mother's killer had only received a life sentence without parole. After all, he had put her through hell. Now, 20 years later, the prison minister had tapped into a deep vein within me, and I began to wonder, could I forgive the man who had changed the course of my life? That was the question that I pondered, until one day when I casually was leafing through a folder and a piece of paper fell out. It was the telephone number of the chaplain's office at the penitentiary. I decided to dial the number, and the phone was answered by Father Damereau. I told him that I was trying very hard to find a way to forgive the man who killed my mother. I also want to find out what happened that night and whether he feels any remorse, she said. Father Damereau asked, does it make any difference if he feels remorse? I really didn't know the answer to this. It would obviously be so much easier to forgive someone who showed remorse. But somehow I felt that should not drive my decision. Father Damereau offered to serve as a mediator and suggested he could personally deliver a message from me. So he asked me to tell him exactly what I wanted to say. I thought for a second, and then with a sudden burst of unexpected clarity, I said, please tell him the daughter of the woman he killed in 1980 wishes to forgive him and would like to know if he has anything to say in return. When I hung up the phone, I felt desperate, totally unsure of what I had done. What if he was released and comes after my family? What if I wasn't really ready to forgive? The following Friday, I called Father Damereau. He described how he'd gone to deliver my message. As you might imagine, after 20 years, Nathan was very taken aback. In fact, he was speechless, said Father Damereau. But before I tell you what he said, I need you to know that Nathan is dying. He has cancer. Of all the scenarios I'd imagined, it never crossed my mind that I was forgiving a dying man. Trembling, the tears streamed down my cheeks, and I realized for the first time since 1980, I felt at peace. I had nothing left to fear. Nathan wishes to convey how grateful he is for your forgiveness, continued Father Damereau. He said he's turning his life over to God and preparing for the end. He also asked me to tell you how deeply sorry he is for what he did. He said that he could never make an excuse for it, but it was a bad time in his life and he never intended to kill anyone, that he was out of his mind on drugs. And he asked you to convey his deepest regrets to the rest of your family. I thanked Father Damoreau and hung up the phone. Sitting at my desk, tears of relief and sadness and gratitude and closure began to flow. Then, as if a window had been opened, a cold air flew in, and I felt my mother sitting next to me for the first time since she died. She was right next to me with her arms wrapped around me. And then, 2 days after Christmas, a thin white envelope with blue lettering arrived from the penitentiary. And it read, "Notice of release. Pursuant to the department regulation, this office is required to notify you of Nathan's passing. He died on December 23rd, 2000. I stood there holding the letter to my chest, thinking about the word release. Notice of release. We had both been set free. So many years I had been grieving my mother. And now, how strange to grieve her killer. For the life he never had. For the bad choices he made. And the love he probably never felt." That is her story. Why does God insist upon forgiveness when our memories recall the often wounds, the wounds that are contained within ourselves? Why must we forgive? First, because Christ has forged a way through the past to provide an unbelievable future for you, a future that is unbridled by the weight of the past. And second, when you forgive, you will feel the weight of that brokenness as if it lifts off of your shoulders. Only then can you truly appreciate the gift of forgiveness that has been promised and that we receive this day through Jesus Christ. To be on the receiving end of a forgiveness so vast and so deep is an overwhelming grace that has the power to bring any of us to our knees, to transform even the most desperate of situations to both the giver and the receiver of this precious gift. It is a forgiveness so deep as to cleanse us from all the poison of sin, all brokenness, all despair. Granted, forgiveness is not easy, but it is necessary, because what is waiting is a future that is no longer defined by pain, but instead by love. Thanks be to God. Amen.